Modern Love, the podcast, is supported by...
Produced by the iLab at WBUR, Boston.
From the New York Times and WBUR Boston, this is Modern Love. Stories of love, loss, and redemption. I'm your host, Meghna Chakrabarty. For Betsy Varecki, the perfect man is sweet, smart, sensitive, and can feed her carb addiction. She wrote about someone she thought checked all those boxes in her essay, Boy, What a Fabulous Baker. It's read by Abby Jacobson, who stars in Broad City, and who you can see now in the drama Six Balloons on Netflix.
The two loaves of bread caught my eye. Then I noticed the man in the goofy hat holding them. In his profile picture, he looked like a carpenter or shipbuilder, someone who should always wear flannel, a man with broad shoulders and a beard perfect for catching crumbs. I swiped right. We matched. Scanning his Instagram, I realized he made food for a living. His feed featured croissants the size of a human head, zucchini lasagna, coconut donuts, cauliflower pizza, and bacon and egg pasta. As it turned out, his bakery was within walking distance from my apartment, so I decided to go check it and him out. Meeting the baker in person on my own secretive terms seemed safer than showing up for a potentially horrible blind date. And if there was no spark, at least I'd go home with something yummy for lunch. So one hot Sunday morning, I went deep into Brooklyn, passing factories and rickety buildings with garages big enough to hold bulldozers. I kept looking at my map, wondering if I was on the right street. Then I saw the sign. I had expected your typical hipster bakery with exposed filament light bulbs and a $5 cold brew. But his bakery seemed more like a scientist's lab. The space was enormous, with high ceilings, and the air was chalky with flour dust. The baker was in the back, wearing an apron covered in flour. We caught eyes immediately. He put down the bread he was tossing and asked if I needed help. I have found that the longer you date, the more people start to remind you of people you've already dated. This baker, however, was unlike any man I'd ever met. His forearms were sinewy with muscles threaded together like the twisted challah bread in his photos. After I asked him what they had, he began to talk about the bread. I grew up in a blue-collar Ohio town where bread comes in two flavors, white and brown. I couldn't keep up with all the details he provided about grains. I'm not shy, but being around him made me feel as if I were underwater. I kept my eyes focused on the loaves in front of me and finally asked which bread he preferred. Oh, he said, hesitating. That's like picking a favorite child. He picked up a sharp knife and, like Zorro, sliced off a generous piece, handing it to me. My crush was born. I began following his bakery on Instagram to see what it had that day. The experience mimicked everything I loved about living in Europe, going to the bakery for bread and pastries that had been baked hours or minutes before and talking to the people who made them. Once I decided to eat one of the baker's baguettes straight from the bag, the way everyone does in France. The first bite was so tasty, I actually muttered an expletive. My friends soon knew all about my crush on the baker and his bread. How's it going with Baker Boy, they'd ask. I love this guy for you. I kept hoping the baker would ask me out, but he wasn't doing so. Finally, it occurred to me that if I really wanted to go out with him, I should just ask him. But how? I had lived most of my life waiting for men to make the first move. Now in my mid-30s, I'd yet to ask a man on a date. In person and sober, at least. Everyone seemed to have an opinion on whether girls should ask out boys. Men thought it was an excellent idea and urged me on, guaranteeing the baker would say yes. They even walked me through strategies and role-played. Some women thought so too, but others tried to dissuade me with advice like, I wouldn't. He probably has no trouble getting a date. Until then, I had never thought about the courage it must take for men to ask out women. Technology and apps have made rejection less personal, but also at times crueler, banishing people into the ether without explanation or apology. But my fabulous baker boy was no longer just a JPEG. He was a cute, woodsy guy who made really good ciabatta. If I asked him out and he turned me down, I'd be too embarrassed to see him again, which presented a bigger problem. Where would I get my bread? I had plenty of chances to ask him out that summer, but succumbed to my insecurity every time. One day, a friend made me go back into the bakery minutes after I had left to get her a loaf of bread and chat him up. Do you know how psycho that's going to look? I asked. I was just in there. I don't care, she said. Go. By the time I returned, the baker and his team were eating lunch. I'm back, I announced to the room. They all looked at me as if I were crazy, but the baker got up from his seat and said, it's a good thing. I walked out with two loaves of bread, a bagel, and a cookie, but no date. The more I thought about how he might react, the more nervous I became. It was like kneading bread. If you work it too much, you mess it up. The trick is in knowing when to stop. That moment arrived at the end of the summer when I decided to move to a different neighborhood. Knowing I wouldn't make the trek back to the bakery every weekend, I decided it was time. I walked in on a rainy Sunday morning. Bad for business, but perfect for asking out unsuspecting men when you don't want an audience. Wearing red and white striped socks, the baker greeted me with a smile and said they had a couple of specials. A kale vegetable stew and butternut squash donuts. Have both, he said. We'll bring them to you as courses. A few moments later, the baker emerged with a generous portion of warm soup served in elegant china with a slice of his signature bread. My heart leapt a little when I saw that he had grated cheese on top. He checked in on me halfway through to ask if everything was okay. I was feeling tender that morning from too many drinks the night before, and I mentioned that his soup had helped my headache go away. You're hungover? He asked. He rushed off and returned with a grapefruit-flavored fizzy beer, saying it would make me feel better. It did. A half hour later, there wasn't a crumb or a drop left in my bowl. I was stuffed, but then the donut appeared, so I told my stomach to make room. The donut was so big, I needed a knife and fork to tackle it. I could have second-guessed myself all day, but I eventually got up and approached the baker, who was alone at the counter. I knew if I didn't ask him out, the answer would always be no. Just as I was about to speak, he turned on the blender. Silenced by its roar, all I could do was laugh. When he took my plate, I thanked him for a great meal. Then I took a deep breath and said, do you want to hang out sometime? Relief set in as soon as I heard the sound of my own words, so much so that I wish I had just done it sooner. He stared at me, flustered and confused. We could talk about bread or something, I added. At that, his face softened. I'd be up for that, he said. Do you have a card? I pulled one from my wallet and slid it across the counter. I'll text you, he said. As I left, my adrenaline high was unlike anything I had ever felt, not only because he had said yes, but also because I had asked for something I really wanted. Later that day, however, I found myself back in familiar territory, watching my phone, waiting for a text. Friends said he had several days. never occurred to me that he might not text at all. I had this romantic idea that if I were able to summon the courage to ask him out, he'd text me back and we'd go out. Because that's how the grand gesture works, isn't it? You take a leap and get rewarded for it. What I had somehow missed in my middle school nervousness is that the grandness of my gesture was known to me alone. He had no idea. All he knew was some girl had asked if he wanted to hang out and talk about bread. One day passed, then two. After a week, I checked the bakery's Instagram account to see if he was still alive. He was. All I had been getting was really good customer service. That and a lesson in love.
That's Abby Jacobson reading Betsy Varecki's essay, Boy, What a Fabulous Baker. We'll catch up with Betsy after the break. Betsy Varecki says she and the baker haven't talked since she asked him out. After he ghosted her, she started buying her bread somewhere else. But she says she still misses the bakery.
I'm a vegetarian, so my diet is basically bread, cheese, and wine. I would walk back to my apartment with, like, a bag full of ciabatta, baguettes, cookies, and I was set for the week. It was great. I remember him saying something like he could eat an entire loaf of bread in a day, and that was just the biggest turn-on for me. So, yeah, it was a great bakery. He was very talented. Wherever he is, I hope he's still successful.
Betsy says she and the baker met not long after she got divorced, when she was just getting back into dating.
I met Baker Boy when my life was pretty messy. When I swiped him on Tinder, I thought, you know what? I'm just going to go there and see what happens. So Baker Boy was sort of my foray into how complicated dating was going to be.
Dating's still complicated for Betsy, who's now 37. She doesn't like apps, but she's gone on some dates with people that she's met in real life. And she says she did learn something from asking the baker out.
I think anyone who gets divorced and has to start over, they have to answer the question, what is my life going to be like now? And who am I going to be? And I realized that I didn't want to be the girl who sat there and waited at the table for the boy to ask her. Like, if he wasn't going to ask me, I was going to ask him because I wanted an answer. I think he was a little shell-shocked and a little surprised, and I felt a little bad in the moment. I know that I definitely took him by surprise. And I think if I did it again, I would tee it up a little better. But I don't think I realized that I was the type of person to take these kinds of risks. And it felt great.
And Betsy has taken other risks, too. After her essay came out, she left New York City and moved to Hanover, New Hampshire, where she's working on a collection of essays.
I'm a totally different person than I was when I met my husband and when I got married. You know, it's crazy, but I like who I'm becoming.
We'll have more from Abby Jacobson after the break. Here's Abby Jacobson.
I totally relate to asking people out, and having to muster that courage to ask someone out is so scary. And I felt for her. I wanted her so badly to, you know, for him to say yes. But I think it's more important that she got the courage to put herself out there in that way. I'm not one for waiting for things to happen to you. I tend to try my best to go after the things I want. So I really, really related to her and felt for her in this moment.
Thanks again to Abby for reading this week's essay. You can see her in Six Balloons on Netflix and in Broad City on Comedy Central. Daniel Jones is the editor of the Modern Love column for the New York Times. He says that Betsy's essay gets at an important question. Where do we get the bravery to make ourselves vulnerable?
Over and over, I see in people's stories that some outside event, like moving, that is what allows you to finally make your move and to ask someone out because you feel like the clock is ticking and it's now or never. And in this case, she needs that. She needs that end point to feel brave enough to ask. And that is just such a common thing. If we're shy and we're afraid, we need to get our bravery from some outside, like, deadline that's forced upon us.
Next week, Linda Cardellini.
It's clear we're meant to be together, he insisted. But I've already been called to be a monk. Maybe this is God's way of telling you that you should be a nun after all. But if there was anything that I was certain of now, it was that I was not meant to be a nun.
Modern Love is a production of the New York Times and WBUR, Boston's NPR station. It's produced, directed, and edited by Jessica Alpert, John Parati, Caitlin O'Keefe, and Amory Sievertson. Sound design by Matt Reed. The idea for the Modern Love podcast was conceived by Lisa Tobin. Iris Adler is our executive producer. Daniel Jones is the editor of Modern Love for the New York Times and advisor to the show. Music for the podcast, courtesy of APM. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. See you next week.